Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. Today I'm joined by literary agent Claire Conville of Conville & Walsh. Claire's acknowledged by The Observer as one of the top 50 players in the world of books. Between them, her clients have won or been nominated for nearly every major literary prize, and we're thrilled that she's brought her award-winning expertise to our studio today. Well, we'll be taking three brand new titles from the shelf. The first, a memoir of music, madness and medication. Instrumental by James Rhodes is a title that had to go all the way to the Supreme Court in order to be published. Next, a steampunk graphic novel, Thrilling Adventures of Lovelace and Babbage, the true story of the first computer. It's written and drawn by Sidney Padua. The work started as a short piece, it evolved to a longer limited edition, became a stage show, and only now is it on general release as a full-length comic. And finally today, we'll be examining Claire Fuller's mystery suspense novel, Our Endless Numbered Days, which is predicted to be the summer's must-read. That's all to come here on The Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to you, Claire Conville. Let's start with Instrumental. Now, this is a book that almost didn't make it, not only because of the injunction trying to stop publication, but also because of the enormously self-destructive tendencies of the author, James Rhodes. What can you tell us about this very talented musician and writer?
I had heard about James Rhodes as a musician several years ago, but I had no idea of the backstory. I think the book was due to be published last year, and then, as you rightly say, it was injuncted, in fact, by his first wife on the basis that she was worried that it would affect their son. He won the case, and the book was published within days of actually the High Court saying the book could be released. And, of course, it's a fascinating account of a man who had a deeply troubled childhood, largely as a result of being brutally abused by a teacher at his prep school. But the book really tells an incredible story of how, essentially, music saved his life. Mm. And it's written with incredible honesty, wonderful humour. Sometimes it's very hard to read because it's so painful. At other times, he's so honest and so sort of scabrous and so entertaining that you can't help laughing out loud.
It's such an extreme examination of his mental state. I love the line, "I'm only ever 2 bad weeks away from a locked ward."
Yes, and I think that's what you get. You get the sense of this man on a tightrope, really, in terms of his compulsions and his desires and his belief in himself as a musician, which is partnered by sort of the devastating and brutal account of his early years as a little boy going to school and all the damage that did, and that damage that continues to resonate down the years. So you're on a kind of Tom Tiddler's ground sometimes. So you just think, what's going to happen next and how's he going to feel about it? But I must say, I literally read it in one sitting and I found it extraordinarily moving. And one of the brilliant sort of things about the book is that there's a music list to go with it. So you can actually have a playlist as you read it of all the music that he loves by the musicians who he admires. I found it absolutely fascinating. And I think that there must be something in the idea that the sort of incredibly complex and abstract rhythms of classical music can in some way rewire the brain and soothe the soul. I mean, I really do believe that, actually.
He's a man on a mission. He wants to save classical music in the way that music saved him.
Yes, I mean, he wants to make it much more accessible. He wants it to be much less formal. He wants to create a space where audience and musician can kind of come together in a conversation about the music that they love together, or indeed the music he can introduce to them. And I can only applaud that, you know, that can be nothing good but good can come out of that ambition.
Instrumental by James Rhodes. It's out now and it's published by Canongate. This is the Monocle Arts Review. I'm Georgina Godwin, and today Uber agent Claire Conville has chosen three books to talk about, the second of which, The Thrilling Adventures of Lovelace and Babbage, is a comic written and drawn by Sidney Padua. Claire, this comes under the genre steampunk. How would you describe that?
Yes, I think that's a little unfair, actually. I think it's a comic book as opposed to a comic. It's bande dessinée, I think, of the highest form. And yes, there is a steampunk element to the story, but Ada was the child of Lord Byron. She had an extraordinary life. She was a brilliant mathematician, and we remember her, if indeed people do know of her, as the first computer programmer. So there's a steampunk element because some of the book is imagined, but a lot of it is based in truth, and it's an extraordinary story. I would describe it first as just an incredibly gripping read about an extraordinary heroine, and second as a steampunk graphic novel.
Mm. It's had, as I mentioned, this a few incarnations. I mean, it started off really as a one-shot thing for Ada.
Yes, Sydney is an animator by trade, and she sort of, you know, was doing some research and found out about Ada, and really just started sort of a blog about her just because she was so fascinated by her life and career. Within sort of feminist circles, Ada is quite, controversial is the wrong word, but is believed to be largely misunderstood or unappreciated by more conventional historians, in that Babbage in their lifetime essentially took the credit for their research. And many sort of feminist historians believe that Ada had a much bigger part in it than she was allowed to, or was seen to be allowed to have at the time because of the restrictions of sort of the Victorian world. But Ada's now got her own Ada Lovelace Day. She's now a computer program at the Pentagon. It's called Ada. So her influence has gone way beyond her lifetime. And in fact, anybody sitting down to type an email has to thank Ada for that.
That's extraordinary. It was a play too.
Yes, I have to say I didn't see the play, so I can't comment on that. But I do think with somebody whose story is as extraordinary as Ada, she will always manifest in different ways. Mm. As I say, there've been biographies about her, there's been a play about her, there's been now a graphic novel, there's a computer program named after her, she's got her own day. I know she's going to feature in a big BBC series coming at the end of the year. We're in discussions with film and TV people about her and her world. So she's going to be with us for a very long time. And I think we could safely say she must be one of the most influential Victorians, certainly possibly the most influential female Victorian.
And there's a wonderful plot through this, which is that they're sort of going through time trying to solve mysteries.
The point was that the analytical engine was never actually realised. I mean, Charles Babbage envisaged it, Ada programmed for it, but they never actually built it. In this book, inspired by true events, Sydney sort of lifts off into a world of the imagination and uses the analytical engine as a real thing, which is used by Lovelace and Babbage to, as you say, solve mysteries, go back in time, meet extraordinary people, and so on and so forth. So it's part truth, part fantasy. And I think that's what makes the book so exceptional, that it's not earthbound in the way that Ada wasn't earthbound by sort of physical realities. It has this extraordinary imaginative power to take us into Ada's sort of unusual world, and also her brilliant mind. I mean, she was, you know, she was a genius. And, you know, the story is that her father, Lord Byron, the poet, abandoned her, I think, when she was a baby. Her mother, Lady Byron, was so angry with him that she decided that Ada would be brought up with no romantic inclinations whatsoever. A maths tutor was appointed. But of course, given her parentage, she became, instead of being a romantic poet, she became a mathematical genius. And we live with the results today.
Amazing, amazing book. An amazing looking book too. The Thrilling Adventures of Lovelace and Babbage, published by Pantheon Books. I'm Georgina Godwin. This is the Monocle Arts Review, where literary agent Claire Conville has one more book to introduce us to today. Our Endless Numbered Days is the debut novel, full of mystery and suspense, by Claire Fuller. It's recently been shortlisted for the Desmond Ellis Prize for Debut Fiction. Claire, without ruining the plot, tell us a little of the story.
It's a wholly original book, and that's one of the reasons I loved it. If I had to try and contextualise it, I would say it's Room meets Lord of the Flies. It is the story of a young girl growing up in a kind of rather louche, sort of arty family in the 70s in sort of somewhere in North London, I think. But the father is a sort of survivalist, and her mother goes away. Her mother's a concert pianist, funny enough, and goes away on tour. And what starts off as a kind of holiday from school ends up with her abducting his daughter and taking her to live in a hut in somewhere in Germany in the woods, where they live in isolation in terrible circumstances for 9 years. But she writes, Claire Fuller writes, it's extraordinarily vivid, it's extraordinarily powerful, and that you completely become as one with our young protagonist. And of course, what you're confronted with is both joyous at some levels and terrifying and frightening at others. Suffice to say, I would recommend it to anyone as a holiday read. It's wholly engrossing and marks, I think, the debut of a sort of incredible talent.
Mm. Like instrumental, music's a large part of the book. In fact, it shares its title with an album by Iron and Wine.
Oh, I didn't know that. So that's new to me.
But there's a lot of music in the book, isn't
there?
Yes,
there is. The mother's a concert pianist, and when they sort of move to the woods, she's constantly saying she wants to play the piano, she wants to make music, and her father constructs in a sort of ad hoc fashion a strange sort of instrument which she plays. But it seemed to me a book about what children see, what we want them to see, and how children make sense of an adult world. Mm. And I love that perspective. And I think in an age where most thrillers seem to be about sort of damaged adult relationships, it was very refreshing to get into the mind of a child, however difficult the circumstances, and see the world from that perspective.
And the father, who ostensibly has done this terrible thing and removed her, hasn't really done it from any place of evil. Everything he's done because he thought was right.
Yes, up to a point. I mean, I think by the end of the book, you do hate him because he's sort of damaged this child so irretrievably at some levels. But I think, as you say, it's not about a big decision. It's about how one decision turns into another. And the further that you lose your grip on, or further the everyday recedes, the more you lose your grip on reality, really. So yes, what starts off as a sort of holiday becomes another something else, something far more terrifying.
Our Endless Numbered Days by Claire Fuller is published in the UK by Fig Tree and Penguin, in Canada by House of Anansi, and in the US by Tin House. It'll also be published in the Netherlands, in France, in Italy, in Taiwan, Turkey and Israel in the coming months. So a real huge worldwide blockbuster, I think, absolutely waiting to happen. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to Claire Convell of Convell & Welsh. I should also add that as well as being a brilliant agent, Claire is also the co-author of Dangerous Women, The Guide to Modern Life, and co-founder of the Curious Arts Festival. Now, this is a delightful event which takes place at Powell Park. That's in the New Forest here in Britain from the 17th to the 19th of July. And the reason I mention that is that Claire Fuller and Sydney Padua will be there at the festival this year, so well worth attending. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Georgina Godwin. My producer was Holly Fisher, and my researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us again at the same time tomorrow when Tim Robey will have the lowdown on the week's film releases. Until then, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.